Hello and welcome to the STEM Dreams podcast. STEM Dreams exists to increase the number of people of color and women in STEM. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And one way we are seeking to accomplish this goal is through this podcast, our very first podcast. My name is Linda Hargrove, and I'm here with my co-host,
Claude Hargrove.
Dr. Claude Hargrove. Claude and I are both engineers, and we're married. Actually, we've been married 28 years. Between the two of us, we have 6 degrees in engineering and more than 20 years of teaching experience combined on the academic level. We're both passionate about STEM, particularly STEM for all. Male or female, regardless of socioeconomic background. Isn't that right, Claude?
Yes, definitely.
Before we get to the meat of the show, my interview with female engineer Tiffany Tichy. She's a mechanical engineer. She's been practicing engineering for 15 years. Before we get to that, I wanted to talk to you, Claude, about this article I saw entitled How 2020 Can Be a Tipping Point for Women in STEM. What do you think? Is 2020 the tipping point year for women in STEM fields?
Honestly, I'm a little challenged by it being the tipping point. We've had folks who had visions of organizations to inspire women from the 60s on up as it relates to engineering or science or even minorities, whether it be NSBE, SWE, or AWIS.
National Society of Black Engineers, Society of Women Engineers. And what's AWIS?
AWIS is the Association of Women in Science.
Okay. Yep, so it goes way back.
Right. And a lot of these organizations, their mantra or focus is to inspire women or inspire minorities to pursue engineering or pursue science or math as it relates to STEM, as we're talking about. Mm-hmm. A lot of their approach, their main approach is to use mentorship or to empower through networking or just to bring about information so people will know the opportunities that they have.
Okay. That's actually a good point to bring out, that it's been around a long time, these organizations that inspire and that provide role models. Tiffany's journey involves role models, but from a different viewpoint. And she also talks about mentoring and mentorship, but seeing herself as a mentor, as well as seeing others during her high school years as mentors. So let's take a listen to her interview, and then we'll come back and wrap up.
Thank you for joining us. Today we have Tiffany Tichy. She is mechanical engineering grad from UNC Charlotte. First off, what did you dream of doing or becoming when you were a kid?
Initially, I wanted to be a lawyer. I enjoyed, I guess that's that problem solving part of it, but from a debating standpoint. So initially it was just being a lawyer. But yeah. Then when I was exposed to tying in the math and the science and problem solving can come from a different perspective, that's when engineering switched over from there. But initially it was just becoming a lawyer because I like to argue and debate and try to say my points. But that was initially when I was growing up wanting to be a lawyer.
So. Gotcha.
Yeah, growing up, I was well-rounded. I, of course, had the academics, but outside of that, I was into sports and band. So I started out with playing instruments started out piano, then switched over to a guitar, guitar, and then finally throughout middle school and high school, it was the saxophone. My dad had said, oh, you could be the next Kenny G. I was like, okay, Daddy. But I played the saxophone, alto saxophone, and I played in the marching band. So that was from the arts side of it, the musical side of it. And then from a sports standpoint, I played volleyball in middle school and basketball. And then in high school, I did hurdles and basketball. Nice.
You were busy. You were
and then active in all different clubs and organizations, from the yearbook to the National Honor Society, like throughout. I was well-rounded, and I saw that from a lot of the people I met and friends throughout schools as well. So it put me in different perspectives to meet different people as I grew up as well. So I grew up with my brother and I.
Okay.
You know, we're 2 years apart. He's actually a civil engineer. He went to North Carolina A&T. So he always grew up sort of following right after me, having to deal with the teachers and saying, why can't you be more like me? But he actually ended up doing his own journey. He went off to the Army. He's a veteran. And like I said, he's a civil engineer. So we both had two different paths we led to, but we grew up together, both doing our own thing, personality differences and stuff. But we love each other because we were 2 years. We played mates and grew up from that. My mom, she's an educator. She's a retired school teacher. She actually was elementary school, middle school time frame. So it's ironic that I'm writing. She's a reading lab. Title I, low-income students is what she dealt with as far as her teaching and growing from that end. So it's ironic that I'm writing a book for specifically for elementary school. So it's come kind of full circle that I'm not the reading lab teacher like she was and all that, but I'm tying it in from my STEM standpoint to the school.
That's great.
Yes. And then my dad, he's an entrepreneur. He actually passed away 13 years ago, but he instilled in us the entrepreneur side. He was a barber, owned his own barbershop, beauty salon. Named it after myself, Tiffany's Hair and Nail Salon.
There you go.
And he had a variety of different barbershops and salons that he did. But that was the entrepreneurship side. So I had a taste of the education and the entrepreneurship. And it all has been full circle how I'm tying it in with what I'm doing today.
So they were your role models.
They were my role models. So when you ask those type of questions of who did I look up to, they instilled in me the push and the drive to excel and be who me and my brother, who we wanted to be. With our different personalities, with our different goals. But both of them were my role models. And, you know, my mom was the educator, my dad from the entrepreneurship side. Those are the key ones. They instilled us the purpose of service as well. So we also did a lot of going to the soup kitchen, doing community service. Nice. The giving back part is what they also instilled in us from church, going to church and everything too. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I was blessed to be able to be with two parents that instilled in us the power of service, giving back, as well as doing well in life.
And you know, building character and empathy, caring for others. That's great. Going back to your school kind of life.
Yes.
Favorite subjects. What were your favorites?
Actually, was math. I did enjoy math.
Right.
Math more so than science. I actually like math. It challenged me. Now, I wasn't saying I was the best at it because, you know, the pre-calculus, the geometry and the algebra and all of that, but it challenged me when I think about the math and science. My mom and my dad, they had us into a Saturday program where my brother and I had to go before we did anything else. We had to go to the Saturday Math and Science Academy, and we would go to that, and that was another way to network with other kids where we were all being exposed to encouraging us to challenge us as well. So it probably would be the subject of math because we were challenged to go on Saturday math and science academies.
So were they in the same school? I mean, were they at your school?
It was all different students, just as a program. And it was on Winston-Salem State's campus where we would go to. So I was exposed to going to college, being on college campuses as well as being able to be with other students from all different schools, being exposed to it. So it was a great opportunity. I was also part of different Crosby Scholars, like different programs, which challenged us to make sure we could get scholarships and all that too. So my mom, being the educator she was kind of exposed to making sure, and my dad, that we were exposed to being able to get those connections, build those connections, and be around excelling as far as scholarships and everything from that end.
So she knew the ins and outs.
I will say, I think that was a plus. And she made sure that we were exposed to being in the know of where we needed to be. There was always room for improvement, but she wanted to make sure we didn't miss out on opportunities, that we could have those opportunities to move and excel future. So it helped somewhat with her being her connections as far as the teacher. My dad being the barber, he had so many people and customers coming through. So with that connection, he actually had a civil engineer that he cut hair with. And so that civil engineer told my dad, you might need to get your kids into this. Try to get them in. So it was through that, actually, ironically, through those connections, we had someone who spoke to him to tell us, hey, this is a guy who's an engineer. He's saying, y'all would be great to be engineers. And so that sort of was put into our minds as well. From that connection.
I'm assuming he was African-American.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was. And so that's why he was like, it'll be good for them. If they're good at math and science, this is a good move for them. So he pushed it. He pushed the whole getting them into the engineering and everything too. So That's it came full circle. My mom, the educator, and my dad, the entrepreneur who had the connection.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing to see the story of how everything came full circle.
Yeah. Nowadays, we call that social capital.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just connections. It's still the same. Yeah.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So, throughout high school, it sounds like you had a good base and lots of support.
Right.
But you still had to make that decision yourself. I mean, why didn't you choose civil? Why'd you go mechanical?
So actually, I remember the day when we started trying to look for schools and everything too. So I started going to visit campuses. And so when I decided that engineering was the way to go, I actually was looking at North Carolina A&T, NC State. And then I went that one extra outside school because I thought I could play basketball. And I was like, oh yeah, let me just try to go to the University of Tennessee with Pat, the coach. I don't know what I was thinking, but I did get into the school, but I thought I could play basketball as well, but reality check. Basketball, engineering, which one was going to get me where I needed to go?
So. Well, you're tall. So.
Yeah, I was good, but I wasn't to that point where So engineering is the way I decided. So I did get into University of Tennessee too, Knoxville. Ultimately, when I visited the different campuses and I got to see what was a good fit for me, when I went to the campus for the orientation with my mom to UNC Charlotte, I heard a story, and she was the assistant dean, Tali. She was non-traditional, and how she had made an impact. And she actually was the one who was our turning point of, this is the school for us. And actually, she's retired, but I just tell her that story, that she made that impact for us when we went on that campus. Beautiful campus, sold us. So that's really what got us to the campus. And then I actually applied undecided engineering. So when I found out that was an option too, I didn't have to go in and declare my major as far as the type of engineer. It was that 1201 class of engineering, introduction to engineering, where you got to see all the different types of engineering. And so I felt mechanical was the broadest out of all of them. You know, but mechanical, anything that moves is mechanical. So that's sort of what sold me from that end of why I wanted to go to mechanical engineering. Why I decided I wanted to go to UNC Charlotte. I didn't want to be a number, and I didn't, you know, wanted to make sure I was connected. Now it's a large campus, but it's a beautiful campus. It's grown. How now they've got different engineering buildings separated. All of it is just, it's empowering to see the difference that it's made, but it made an impact on me while I was there in school. But that's really why I decided to go into mechanical engineering. Went in undecided with the general class, intro class. Mechanical is what I decided because it was much broader.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you. So you've been an engineer for 15 years. Has that been with one company?
It's been with two. So when I was doing my graduate study, I got my undergrad in mechanical engineering. Then I got my master's in engineering management. So while I was in grad school at UNC Charlotte, I actually did an internship with EPRI, Electric Power Research Institute. And I did a lot of internships while I was in undergrad, but this was my graduate studies where I did master's and worked as well as an intern, which was very flexible as well. They brought me on full time after I graduated. So EPRI was my first job right there in Charlotte. And so I worked there for about 4.5 years. And then there was an opportunity where Shaw Group was there. So I actually transitioned. They was building new nuclear power plants. So I've been in the nuclear energy industry for all that time frame. Ended up being, that's what I've been dealing with from those 15 years from that industry, from the energy, from all the different mergers, from Shaw, CB&I, WecTech to Westinghouse. I still have 11 years, service years with all of them because of the mergers and acquisition.
Yeah.
So that's really been this has been my second job out of school, but been through different mergers and acquisitions. Westinghouse has been that from that standpoint, from that time.
Nice. What is Tiffany's typical day?
Typical day.
Is there a typical day?
Right, it varies, and that's really why I went into engineering. It challenges me, so it varies every day. I've dealt with design, construction, procurement, different types of engineering aspects and types of projects. So, but various projects, I just deal with a lot of projects, and I do dealing with equipment from pumps, pipes, valves, all that kind of stuff. I'm dealing with mechanical engineering. So from there, it just varies on the day. And I might deal with design, dealing with drawings, working with the operators on things that need to get done. So it just varies, but those are mostly the things that I deal with from a design standpoint, engineering standpoint of the different equipment and modifications to the different equipment that plays a role with it.
So it sounds like you're at the desk some, and then maybe you're in the plant some.
Well, sometimes I might have to dress out. It might be me. Most of the time I'm at the desk, and you can correspond through emails and sending the drawings and doing all that. But then sometimes I might be at the plant where I have to, on site, where I have to dress out in different safety gear. So they have different, you have to make sure that you are protected. So you have to make sure that you have the different protective gear, from safety goggles, safety glasses, or gloves, laboratory coats and different things. So, and hard hats, because you might have to walk around outside the site. Now, when I decided to go as an engineer, I sort of knew what I was getting myself into from the classroom. Yeah. I sat in that as well. So I sort of knew what I was going into. And so working into the work environment, it just takes the adjustment from across the board, all across the board, that we are just as valuable to the organization with our knowledge and efforts as far as engineering itself. So just having the culture of making sure that we as females, we as minorities, are just as valuable as far as the diversity needed within the industry itself. So that's sort of why I sort of went into it, why I push a lot of the youth and girls and minorities going to the STEM field, because we need more of it. It's necessary for us to be able to work together as a team. It's a diverse team. You got all different types of disciplines of engineering. You deal with different departments, all of that, but we all have to work together for the end result of completing the project. It's important that everybody's voice is at the table, and everybody has a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would push as far as dealing with engineering, dealing with STEM fields, dealing with the industry itself. I feel like that's important.
Well, tell me about your passion for inspiring the next generation.
I'm passionate about just giving back to the youth and encouraging them to go into STEM, because it's just instilled in me, somebody else paved the way for me to get to this point. And so I feel like it's an obligation that we give back. So a lot of times I go out to the schools and get asked a lot by the teachers to come and talk to the students to encourage them, because a lot of them don't get to see the representation, don't get to see that they can also be it too. A lot of times I'm always going out, doing those talks, doing those presentations, showing them and doing hands-on activities, so then they can see how their minds can start thinking, how they can start building and designing, working as a team and doing those type of things. And those are a lot of things that they have to learn. That's a part of the engineering. That's a part of the STEM. That's important. And so if they start seeing it earlier on, that's what's key. And start seeing what they can be, that's where I try to start early on. I mean, I've done from K through 12, like all ages, and it's just amazing to see how the impact it makes. A lot of times what makes my day is when I go and do these talks, and when they get older, and I might see them in college or they've graduated, and they've excelled, and they said, "I remember when you came out and talked to us."
How about that?
Those type of things, it's like tingling feeling, like, wow. And I get a lot of those moments every now and then. And a lot of it's through the National Society of Black Engineers, or Society of Women Engineers. So when I go and do a lot of these talks, it's a lot tied in with those type of organizations. I'm just trying to encourage them to be a part of it, from collegiate to professionals, to continue on. And those type of talks, and then when I see them and they become leaders, they become leadership positions on those type of organizations, and then they go and they get a degree and graduate, and they're working in those fields. Those are the type of things when they come back and say, "Hey, I remember when you came and talked to us." I remember those type of things is what really pushes me, where I'm like, okay, I am making a difference. Even if it's one person and one kid that I'm making a difference.
You can throw another star back in the
scene.
That's good. How do you find time for that?
That is a key question. Everybody asks me. I just make time every now and then. I have to work on that self-care. I'm always told that. And that's important, but I just try to make time and adjust where I can, whatever way to mentor. I used to do Big Brother, Big Sister. I've done that too. But I just see the value of mentoring is important too. So I really push that a lot for people to do, because you just don't know what impact you might make on the others. But I try to make time and adjust with the work schedule, then after school programs that might happen where I can maybe tie in with too.
Good. You're also a member of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. What's the name of your book?
The name of the book is What Can I Be? STEM Careers from A to Z. And it's a children's book.
Okay.
It's from ages, we're pushing from ages 5 to 8, so kindergarten through second. But it's an alphabet book, and it's an opportunity. It has 6 diverse kids that's in there, the STEM crew, and it just walks them through different letters of the alphabet for different STEM careers. And it gives the opportunity from all the diverse kids that's in there, for kids to be able to see themselves in it, see the different careers, get exposed. It's just the early phase. So it starts from A to astronaut to Z to zoologist. And it just walks through all different types of STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, math careers that they can get exposed to.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just engineering. That's good.
No, and I wanted to make sure that it's not just engineering. But I did put C for civil, which is my brother. So it is representing him. And I did put M for mechanical engineering. So it is representing there. So I did make sure I had to put our plug in for our careers in those. And they'll see that in the book. Because two of us are represented in that. So
that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah.
So how can we order the book?
You can order the book. It is available on Amazon, hardcover, as well as ebooks on Amazon. And then from the hardcover, it's available on Barnes & Noble's website. Okay. As far as the website to go to get in general more information, TiffanyTeachy.com, which is TiffanyTeachy.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see on there the different aspects of myself as well as the book, and then how you can also click on it to get more information. And then you will also be able to just connect from there. There's different Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and all that's on there too, as well as on the website.
Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else you wanted to add, or?
No, just continue to push STEM. I'm excited. Thank you for having me be one of the first representatives on this podcast. I'm appreciative of it and just ready to just keep pushing and driving and pushing more to be a part of the STEM industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you once again, and we wish you all the best. Take care.
I enjoyed interviewing Tiffany. She was really inspiring. What do you think?
I am blown away by the many influences in Tiffany's life growing up, the variety of influences, whether it be sports, whether it be arts, whether it be writing, the many influences that sort of helped shape her, and how Tiffany was given all these experiences but not really pushed in making that decision. And so, but she was given options that she can choose from. And I thought that was great in allowing her to decide what it is she wanted to do.
And her parents played a big role. I think that's the overarching thing for me in listening to what she shared, that even though her parents weren't engineers, they weren't even in technical fields, they were role models.
Great, great role models.
Yeah. So that was kind of an eye opener to me. And I like that she brought that out.
Idea of being community minded, having a sense of obligation to give back.
To give back, yeah.
I thought that was really powerful, and how, again, they modeled, even though they did not have technical fields. How I like the term that you use, social capital, and how she was, how her dad was able to, through his network, sort of connect with others within the community to give insight on how to direct her. And even to the point of a Saturday morning math academy, her parents didn't simply just sit back. They were very involved in helping her, giving her all these options. So again, awesome parents.
Yeah, that's the key. Parents are important in their kids fulfilling their dreams, whether it's being an engineer or math teacher or nurse, doctor, you name it. Or even a field that is not even a STEM field. Parents are really important. That's a wrap for this month. Next month, we have another guest. In the meantime, I encourage our listeners to check out our website, idreamstem.org. Follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. Do you have any parting words?
Parents, please be inspired that you guys have an important role in helping your child make these decisions. Just being there, just being an encouragement. You don't have to have PhDs to inspire your kids to pursue STEM. Just being a good parent does so much for them.
Yeah, I totally agree. Dream STEM. Thanks a lot. We'll see you later.